Hi, I'm Brian Alberg, executive chef at Eat On North in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com, and my guest today is Dave Lozo. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I am very excited to have Dave here on the occasion of the NHL opener, or the NHL opener, as I've been calling it all day. My husband wished me a good show on his way out the door this morning and asked what we were going to be talking about. I said, oh, it's a thematic episode. We're going to be talking about hockey gear, because it's the NHL opener. He said, are you going to say it like that? And I said, yeah, I'm going to do the entire show in a Boston accent.
And I'll do a British accent.
Woo!
Right. It's a wonderful day for
hockey. That's terrible. Don't do that.
It's spot on. It's spot on, Jolie. Blimey.
Okay, I promise I'm not going to do the Boston accent. I might say opener a few times because I'm very excited. Anyway, but yeah, it's happy hockey season, everybody. Dave, who is here with me to talk about hockey gear and its attendant smells, has covered hockey for NHL.com and Bleacher Report for 8 years, and he once tried to pick up Michelle Kwan in a Kansas City hotel bar after drinking for 11 hours. Mm-hmm. I can think of no better person to join me to talk all about hockey gear and, more importantly, the smell of hockey gear.
That's a good resume.
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah. I love it. I'm very excited. Before we get into the meat of today's discussion, I'm going to take the opportunity to be totally indulgent and tell you a very, very sad story. 2 years ago, I wrote a 3,000-word piece, 3,000 words, on cleaning hockey gear for Deadspin. This was, I thought, the realization of my life's work. I was finally writing for Deadspin, which I'd been wanting to do for a long, long time. And hockey gear is notorious for its smell. And I was going to write the definitive guide to keeping it clean and smell-free. It would be the most popular story of the day, I thought. It would get aggregated across the entire internet. The NHL would hire me as a consultant. No one read the fucking thing. No one. It's like 60 people read it. It was 60 views on the page view counter.
You should have done a slideshow, because that gets way more clicks. If it was a slideshow on hunky men in hockey equipment that smells, then that would have totally changed your career.
Well, I'm going to hire you as a consultant.
Yeah.
So, and anyway, you know, I will tell you about the slideshow. I included photos of staph infections in the post, because I thought it would like really grab I thought it would resonate with the Deadspin audience, and they were so gruesome that my editor at the time, Tommy Craggs, was like, I'm taking these out and just linking to them. I can't put them in the post. My rule of thumb is, if it's too gross for me to look at, it's too gross for Deadspin.
I mean, to be fair.
So, which means, like, let's take that a step further. It means that I personally am too gross for Deadspin. And I feel proud of that.
I don't think you should take that personally. I don't think that you're a staph infection. You know? I don't think you should take... Anytime you write something about hockey and no one reads it, you should never take that personally.
I did feel a little bit like a staph infection. I was crushed. Actually, the story gets even more pathetic than me being upset about this. Like, this happened. I should have known. I don't know why I thought...
There's nothing wrong with
being proud
of your
work. I was really excited. 3,000 words. I will say an extraordinary amount of time, even for me, researching this post. I really wanted this to be the ultimate guide. So I was so crushed that no one read it in this 3,000-word monster post that I emailed the editors at longform.org. I'm not even kidding about this. And I asked them if they would consider like including the piece on their site, and they were very, very nice, but they wrote back and basically laughed at me and were like, that's not quite in our wheelhouse of what we do at longform.org. I was like, but it's 3,000 words. It's long form.
Well,
how do you define long form? More than 2,000 words. It's long form.
But here's what I like is that you are now, after that rejection and sadness, are going right back into the pool.
I'm still here.
We're doing it again.
There are two people who listen to this today.
Hi, guys.
But here I am. Hey. hey, Katie, right?
So, hi, Bobby Big Wheel's mom.
So, yeah, hi, Bobby Big Wheel and Bobby Big Wheel's mom are three listeners tonight. So Dave and I, we should say, we know each other through our mutual friend, Katie Baker, who is a hockey writer.
Oh, yeah, she's listening. Hi, Katie
Baker. Hi, Katie, who is a hockey writer for Grantland.com. She's got the fancy job. We're just like the schlubs on Deadspin and Bleacher Report.
I was just out back in the garbage, and they were like, do you want to come in here and do a podcast? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I guess. Why not?
All right. So listen, I should say, it's too late. There's probably going to be a little bit of salty language today on the show. So if you haven't already been offended and tuned out, but you plan to be offended, you might want to tune out now. It's hockey. We're going to be a little meatheadish today, but we are going to talk about, we have a lot of information to cover today. So I'm actually going to just right now ask Dave to read, our question from DJ. I was so glad that this came in. It came in on October 1st and I like fist pumped because I was like, yes, I've got the hockey episode coming up. And this hockey question just came in. Now, I have plenty of them in my, in my stash of thousands of reader questions over the years.
That was the one hockey question?
No. I have plenty of hockey questions. I just happened to get one. What's today? The 8th?
I have no idea.
Someday in October now. It's the 7th. It's NHL opener.
It's the opener. Toronto, Montreal.
I was wicked psyched. There's my Boston coming out. I was wicked psyched to get this just last week. So, Dave, I'm going to have you read the question from DJ, and we're going to get right into what to do about.
All right, let's do this. How can we help DJ?
I feel like DJ needs a lot of help.
All right, it says, hello, my name's DJ. Hi, DJ. I'm DJ too. My middle name is James. So we're like, it's DJ.
Did you send me the question?
I have no comment on that. Oh. No, let's see. It says, I'm writing because I could use some help with keeping my hockey equipment from smelling. The problem is that I don't have proper space to air my stuff out all the time, or it's a bit of a hassle, or I don't have time. I should wash the gear, right? But I haven't figured that out yet. If you have any ideas, that would be kind of you. I'm thinking of getting some kind of air freshener to leave in my bag for one. Maybe some kind of disinfectant spray would be good. One thing I'm wondering about is using alcohol in something like a big garden sprayer and spraying my gear down after each game. I think that's a good idea if you're going to set it on fire, if you're just going to drop a match in after you spray it with alcohol. Do you think that would do anything? Thank you. Well, my advice is simple when it comes to the smell of hockey equipment is you can't ever let it smell. Once it smells,
it's a goner.
I remember my hockey equipment smelling and I was like, I got to wash this. And I washed it. And it just basically became a new bad smell.
Like a wet.
It smelled like your grandfather's feet after he spent the day at the beach. It was just this awful new, hockey.
That is an evocative.
Right. Like a smelly between the toes, grandpa, get your feet out of my face. I'm trying to watch TV here. Kind of a smell. And I just think that's what makes hockey smell so unique is if you vomit on your jeans and you wash your jeans and then smell your jeans smell fine. They smell like laundry detergent. If you wash your hockey equipment when it stinks, it just becomes this new stink and it just never goes away. So my advice is treat it like herpes where don't ever get it, because once you get it, you have to just manage it. It's like it's never going to go away. It's going to be it's like Two Broke Girls. Once Two Broke Girls gets on TV, it will infect your TV forever. So you have to make sure to not... Basically, hockey smell is like the Two Broke Girls of...
Slash herpes.
I mean, I'd rather have herpes than watch Two Broke Girls. But the point is, you can't ever let it become part of your life. You have to be diligent about airing it out the second you get it. You can't just leave it in your bag and then say, oh, I'll get to it later. And then you get home and you're like, I don't want to do this because then it's over. So... yes, douse your equipment in alcohol and then set it on fire. That's my advice. I'm sure you have better advice than I do.
I mean, it's not bad advice. And actually, I mean, you said the most important thing, which is, one, deal with it. And two, air it out. So we're actually going to start with what seems like it should be the end of the process, but actually it's the beginning of the process. If you do nothing else to your hockey gear, please let it dry after you've worn. You have to let it dry. And I don't mean stick it in the bag and hope for the best. So here's what's going to happen. Let me take you through the process. You're going to go play hockey. You're going to sweat into your pads. Other stuff is going to happen on your pads, too. You are going to molt onto your pad, your mm-hmm. skin. This is probably the flesh of others.
Right.
If you're in my estimation, if you're playing right. Oh, I should say also, I'm a horrible person who feels that the best part of hockey is the fighting.
Well, I mean, that doesn't make you that makes you a human being.
Right, normal, right?
We all like watching people punch each other.
I feel like we live in a world now where we're all supposed to be, like, really against the fighting in hockey. I feel like that's the line.
Well, you're from Boston, so you're...
maybe that's the problem.
You just want to see dudes punch each other in the face.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. Like, these two people right here in the restaurant across from us, if they just started fighting, we would stop the show and watch until
it was over. We totally would.
Right.
We totally would.
That's just how we are.
Right? Maybe we'd do a play-by-play.
Oh, totally.
We'd do color commentary.
Oh, she's dropping... Oh, she's raining blows upon her skull, folks. She's raining... Hold on. I'm gonna periscope it at the same time so you can watch. Like, we totally would watch. That's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, so I love the fighting. So anyway, I think if you're playing right, you probably end up with like a whole bunch of other like human right. matter on you.
Right, and there's so many like people like they blow snot rockets on the ice.
Oh yeah,
spit everywhere. Yeah, like last year, they were passing around the
did they get mumps?
The mumps last year. It's all because like hockey players are gross dudes that spit and blow boogers all over the place.
It's disgusting. It's terrible. It's great. Be more messy.
This is a great show so far.
That's awesome. This is going to be the best show of the season. Well, I've gotten real gross this year, too. It's been awesome. So, okay. So, here's the thing. So, you're going to get off the ice. You're going to take off your jersey and your pads and your socks and your pants and your jock and all that. You wear a jock in hockey, right?
Oh, yeah. You don't want that.
Yeah.
That's damaging. That, right. Much like the smell, you can't come back from that damage
either. That's true, too. And then all that stuff is going to be wet and soaked in your sweat that smells and covered in like skin and such. And all of that stuff is food and drink for bacteria.
Mm.
Then bacteria loves two more things. It loves the dark and it loves heat. So then you're going to go ahead and you're going to put all your pads into this dark bag. Then most people are going to put the bag like in the trunk of their car. And they're going to turn the car on, and it's hockey season, so it's probably cold. You're going to turn the heat in your car on. That's going to get in the back of the trunk. Then you're going to drive home, and you're going to bring the bag inside where it's warm.
Or you'll just leave it in the trunk all day.
But then some wicked smatty is going to come by and say, "No, Jolie, I leave my bag in the garage in Minnesota. It's cold." Well, wicked smatty. I'm going to one-up you on that because the heat factor actually isn't totally necessary. It's just going to exacerbate the situation. So even if you've got those wet, stanky pads in the dark bag and you put it out in the cold, you're still going to have a bacteria party going on.
Right. That's totally
so true. Woo. Okay. The way to prevent that, the simplest way to prevent all of that is to dry the pads out. So yes. Okay. You take them off and you put them in your dark bag and then you drive home because you got to do that to drive home. Okay. When you get home, dry them. I'm going to talk to you about how to dry them. We're starting with the drying part first, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense in some ways, but except for I just explained to you why it makes sense.
Right.
So here's what I want you to think about in terms of your options for drying. And these aren't the only ones. A lot of times what I hear, especially because I'm here in New York City and I have friends here in New York who play hockey, you know, sort of like adult rec hockey and blah, blah, blah. And we in New York have space issues. So I understand that some of these are going to be harder to negotiate if you don't have access to a lot of space. Hopefully there'll be enough options that you can find one that works for you in your space. So here are the dryer and rack ideas that I've got for you. The first is you can get a sports dryer that's designed for pads, like hockey pads, lacrosse pads, football pads, et cetera, et cetera. Roller derby is one I hear about. Roller derby pads are small, so you shouldn't probably need a big fancy dryer, but you might want one. So there's one brand that I'm going to tell you. It's called Rocket Sport. They offer a dryer called the Rocket Sport Dryer. That's about $150, but you can't. I did see it online. Wow. I did see it online for like 130. That's going to dry your equipment in 45 to 60 minutes.
How big is it? Is it like a real size dryer?
It's pretty big. Well, it's like, it's weird. It's on like tripod legs. And then it almost looks like a boxing bag. I've never seen one in IRL, but it's a weird looking thing. So I don't know quite how it works, but but it's, I don't think it takes up too much space.
Okay.
And I feel like $130 is not bad.
I mean,
right? I mean, I saw
it for, how much you pay for your hockey equipment itself to,
and how bad the smell is.
Yeah,
I mean,
and if you're in a tiny little apartment, you don't want that smell emanating through a studio apartment in Brooklyn. That's for sure.
Exactly. So moving down a little bit in the price point, you can get equipment drying racks. They're not heated, so they're not gonna speed up that process so much. It's, you're just gonna be air drying, but at least they're all gonna be kind of up and hung in a way that they get maximum air drying. So one brand to look for, and there are a lot of these, but there's one brand called Wet Gear Hockey Equipment Dryer Rack. That will run you about $70. You can also, if you are, you know, moderately handy and inclined to do so, you can certainly DIY a drying rack with like PVC. I know a lot of people do those. That's probably going to be like a, you know, sub $50 project, and maybe just, you know, a couple hours. Not bad. So if you're handy, that might be a good option for you, and kind of fun to be like, I made my own drying rack.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Take pride in your work.
Put it on Pinterest.
Exactly. And then the last thing to mention, and these are great used in conjunction with racks, but even if you just have like, you know, if you have sort of space in maybe like a garage or a backyard, throw a tarp down and just spread the equipment out on the tarp to dry out. That's a totally fine thing. So this is another way to speed along the drying, is to have a dehumidifier and or a fan pointed at the equipment. That will really speed things up. And I mean, the dehumidifier in particular, because it's really going to pull a lot of the moisture out of those pad, so that's good. One of my readers, one of the three people who read that 3,000 word post, I will say there were very helpful comments. I mean, to the extent that the people who read the post were obviously there for a reason,
right?
And generally a very positive response to the 3,000 words, and very helpful additions, or sort of like, this is what I do that works for me, and blah blah blah. So one guy had excuse me, he made a homemade drying rack that he put into a closet. He had sort of a spare closet that he could devote to this. And so he built a drying rack that would fit into the closet, and he bought an ozone generator, which I thought was so clever. So an ozone generator is basically like it will absorb odors. And he had a shelf in the closet, put the ozone generator on the shelf and then the drying rack below. He would hang the equipment, like shut the door, and that was his way of containing it. And he said it worked really, really, really well. So I thought that was super smart. And then
that guy's a genius. Like, why isn't that guy like putting his skills towards like curing diseases? Like, that's a pretty smart way to go.
It was pretty smart, definitely. I was impressed. I will say, I will include the link to that original post in the write-up that I do of the show for Deadspin.
And people are going to read it. You sons of bitches out there.
But you should definitely, if any kind of equipment, maybe not hockey, maybe lacrosse, maybe roller derby, whatever it is a problem for you, definitely check out these comments, because there were a lot of really helpful tips and ideas in there. And people were nice, too. And it's always nice to read people being funny and kind on the internet, because it happens so rarely. On that note, we are going to take a quick break right now, and when Dave and I come back, we are going to talk more about cleaning hockey equipment, how to wash, some sprays you can use, cleaning helmets and skates. We will be back in just a second. I'm Jolie Kerr, and this is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hi, I'm Brian Alberg, and I'm the executive chef at Eat On North in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts. Eat On North in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts is a casual restaurant where good, honest, uncomplicated food is served to our guests. Our restaurant is part of the hotel called Hotel On North, the newly opened boutique hotel in downtown Pittsfield. We source local ingredients from our neighboring farms and offer an all-day dining menu of flavorful American cuisine for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and on weekends we serve brunch. Our oyster bar serves up delicious shellfish and oyster samplers until 11 p.m. Check out our menu at eatonnorth.com and follow us on Instagram.
Here's what Heritage Radio Network would sound like without donations. It's not as good as the show you were just listening to, is it? Give us a few bucks. Help keep us running. HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Click the donate tab on the top right corner.
Hello, and welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. My guest today is Dave Lozo, and we have been talking about hockey gear and its attendant smells. This has been, I know. Do you want to, can you think of other words to describe the hockey
offensive
smell? It, fetid.
Like, the thing is that, like, any bad smell in the world, I can be like, oh, that reminds me. Like let's say you go into someone's bathroom after they've just annihilated it. They've just completely, just crushed the bathroom. And you walk in 10 minutes later and you're like, that's awful. Like, I've smelled that smell in the summer in New York in, like, every subway station. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, that reminds me of the time my friend destroyed my bathroom. Like, hockey equipment does not smell like anything else. It's this unique thing in the
world. It's a very specific smell.
That we can't get rid of.
It's
the most offensive, overwhelming odor.
It's so bad
that you can't do anything about. It's the worst.
It's so bad. Ugh. All right. So, speaking of bathrooms, actually,
yes. What a segue.
It's a great segment, because I want to talk about sprays, right?
Right.
So, reader DJ asked about the rubbing alcohol spray, and you poo pooed that. So, no pun intended. Jolie. But I actually am a little bit more pro that approach than you are. I do think that for, like, it sounds like for the level that his gear has gotten to, like, he needs to go...
Right. If he's involving a hose,
straight,
it's over.
He needs to go straight to, like, some deeper measures, which we're also going to talk about those. But I do want to talk on about the sprays. The first thing I actually want to say is what not to do. I always like to start with what not to do.
Right.
Because I feel like first of all, a lot of cleaning advice doesn't focus so much on what not to do. And that's actually probably the more important part of the advice.
Because what not to do is usually the first thing that pops into your head when you
clean
something.
Right. And the thing that is going to make it impossible to fix. Like, you can fix most things, but then when you've done something really, really wrong to fix something...
Hockey equipment is your biggest challenge, I think.
You become a goner.
When it comes to fixing stuff, I think... Truthfully, I do think... Like, I remember Lysoling my pads helped a little bit, but...
Yeah.
It's just...
It's not... Okay, so we're going to actually run through a couple of the options that you have and so the pros and cons. The first one I'm going to start with is what absolutely never to use, or no pros to this. Do not ever use Febreze.
Yeah.
So a thing that I heard over and over and over again in the comments was, like, my mom Febreze, which, first of all, my mom Febreze my hockey gear is just so great to me. But I imagine these poor moms just being at a total loss. Like, you know, bad enough that they've got a teenage male in the house and all that smell. I mean, ugh.
Right.
Boy odor. That stale boy odor. So
first of all, men and women play hockey, and we all smell
gnarly.
For the record,
yes, thank you for saying you're right. I was being generous, essentialist, and that was wrong of me, and I apologize. Men and women definitely play hockey, and the smell is bad.
And we all smell.
Yeah,
we all
the smell is really bad.
That's what unites us.
So don't use Febreze. And here's why: because Febreze is really not going to kill the odor; it's going to mask it. And then what you're going to end up with is hockey smell with Febreze smell on top, and it's going to be so gross. So don't do that. The rubbing alcohol thing, I actually do recommend, and I recommend it for two reasons. The first is that it has antibacterial properties. We actually, last week I was a guest on another Heritage show called Tech Bites. We were talking about dirty phones. And after the show, our engineer, Jack, say hi, Jack.
Well, I'm slow. Hi.
That's okay. Sorry, I caught you off guard out there.
Yeah, you did.
Jack went and ordered some sterile alcohol prep pads for the studio so we can all clean our, like, headphones and our telephones and all of that stuff. So rubbing alcohol is a great antibacterial. And so actually it is not a bad idea to use it. I would put some in a spray bottle. I think the hose might be a bit much. I put some in a spray bottle, maybe dilute with water and just spritz the pads. It's going to kill a lot of odors. It's going to kill a lot of bacteria. The one thing to not use rubbing alcohol on or to be aware of is that it can be very drying for leather. Although one of my readers pointed out to me quite correctly that most hockey equipment now is made out of synthetic leather. It's not using real leather anymore. And the alcohol is perfectly fine for that synthetic. So that's a good option. Speaking of alcohol, another good option, and it's like appropriate for hockey, is vodka.
Really?
Vodka. Yeah. So vodka is like an odor eliminator.
So you're like telling me when I was 14 and my parents were like, your stuff stinks, I could have just been like, go buy me a bottle of Smirnoff. And I would have been like, wait, hold on. This is actually
don't
a
even
thing.
Spend the money on Smirnoff, though. buy Georgie. Buy the cheapest shit you can find because you're just spraying your pads with it. Yeah. So vodka, vodka will work. White vinegar, also my like go-to cleaning product, is antibacterial. Same thing as a rubbing alcohol. Pour in a bottle. You can dilute it. Spritz. It will kill odors. A few other things to consider. Rocket Sport, which is that dryer that I mentioned. They also make a sport spray. There's another sport spray called Deodorol Equipment Spray. And there's another one called Elite Hockey Pro Fresh.
I love the names of these
things. I know, they're really great, right? So the Deodorol and the Elite Hockey Pro Fresh were also mentioned by readers. So I want to point those out. Lysol. Here's the problem I have with Lysol. It's a great product and it really works and it's antibacterial and all that stuff. What I don't love is the idea of then you putting on your equipment and having the Lysol be in direct contact with your skin. So if you don't care about that, fine. Go ahead and use the Lysol. It's good. But it could cause irritation. I don't know.
That's what I used once dicey. My equipment got ranked in school. Like from the ages of like 14 to like 22. I didn't do it every day, but when it got bad, I would just kind
of
like.
So you're made like entirely of Lysol by now. So the one place that it is very good and you don't have to worry about anything is inside the bag. So the bag itself will get gross. So Lysol is actually probably the best option for inside the bag. The one place to absolutely, absolutely, absolutely never use Lysol is in your helmet. We're going to talk about cleaning a helmet. But don't do that because here's what's going to happen. You're going to sweat. The sweat is going to roll down and get in your eyes and you have Lysol in your eyes. So don't do that. Whew.
I'm worried about the Lysol now. I think I have like 3 years to live based on the amount of cans of Lysol I've sprayed into my goalie equipment in my life.
Well, I'm glad I booked you when I did then.
Yeah, it's over.
Got you on
here.
Oh
my God.
Actually, let's fast forward and talk quickly about cleaning skates and helmets because we just talked about that. So don't use the Lysol on the old helmet. Actually, cleaning helmets really easy. Use shampoo. Yeah, mild soap is fine too.
I would use soap on the inside of my mouth.
Any kind of soap. You just need a little bit of it. Here's the trick to it though. You want to get a small bowl and put some warm water in there and put your soap in there and kind of swirl it around so that you make suds. Grab a sponge or a rag, get it in the sudsy water, squeeze it out a lot so that the suds form on it, but it's not dripping wet. It should be damp, but very sudsy, if that makes sense to you. When you're doing it, you'll see it. You'll be like, oh yeah, okay, there it is. It's damp, but very sudsy.
Sudsy's a very good Boston name too.
Sudsy and Sully. We could be like frickin' frack. This could be our little, our little nicknames for ourselves. And then what you're going to do is you're just going to, you know, scrub the inside of the helmet with the suds. And you're going to wring out the sponge or the rag and do the same thing with clean water a few times to get the soap out. Again, you want to get the soap out so that you don't have that sweating problem and you get soap in your eyes. That's no fun. Grab a towel, towel off the interior of the helmet. Let it just air dry. If you live in a humid climate or it's a damp day or the damn thing just is not drying, you can ball up a towel, like a hand towel would probably be about right. Ball up a hand towel and just stick it in the helmet and that's going to absorb the excess moisture. So that's how you clean a helmet. Skates. You can, if they're very damp when you're done playing, stuff them with dry newspaper.
Huh.
That is going to absorb moisture and odor. I don't know how that works, but I know that it does.
We finally found a use for newspapers.
Yeah, I know. You can't let newspapers die. You can also certainly use an odor eliminating spray made for shoe, like athletic shoes. That Dr. Scholl's makes a good one called like Odor X. Any one of those. Sneaker balls are also a great option for your skates. Just pop them inside. Last thing to think about from time to time, and it's not a bad idea, to remove the liners from the inside of the skates and just hand wash them. You can hand wash them with dish soap in your sink. I mean, it's that easy. If you can't even bring yourself to hand wash the liners, at least just take them out to let them air dry. So that's really going to help with smell. So that's your skate and helmet. Not too bad,
no.
Right?
I always put talcum powder in my skates, which seemed to help.
Yeah. That'll help, yeah. Definitely. It's the same idea as using the odor spray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is all helpful. I wish I had this 20 years ago.
Listen, this is going to be the little post that lived, right? It's going to be the little post that could. It's going to chug along.
Like 20 years from now, people are going to Google stuff and find this.
I'll go back to old Ask a Clean Persons from like the first year I was doing it for Deadspin. And all of those posts are at, like a quarter million page views now. Because they're mostly evergreen and they build on themselves. This poor little hockey post is still just chugging away at 60,000 page views.
We're going to get it to a quarter million. Thanks.
We're going to do it. All right. So we got through dryers and racks. We got through sprays. We got through your helmets and your skates. And this is going to bring us to the big mama. Actually washing, properly washing.
This is what I want to know about. Because I don't think I ever properly washed anything.
I don't think you did. And I actually think I hear you on the once the hockey pad smell starts, like you're in bad shape. Things are bad.
But you're going to fix
it. I think part of the thing is that you may not have been washing right. You may not have been using the right products. Because there are some odor eliminating products that you can use in laundry that will work on the pad. So let's talk about the three ways in which you can wash your pads. You can wash your pads by hand. You can wash your pads in the washing machine. You can also wash your pads in the dishwasher.
You have to take the
top rack out. I would not recommend doing this with any of the heavy duty plastic parts, because the bottom rack is the hotter part of the dishwasher and the plastic could melt. Although I think it's probably heavy duty enough plastic that it's not going to melt.
But like you're talking like gloves.
I just want to give that warning. Yeah. I just want to give that warning to be aware of the heat level thing.
Don't melt and destroy your dishwasher.
Right. Exactly. So, dishwasher, no soap. The steam of the dishwasher is what's going to do the cleaning. Okay. So those are the three ways. Let's go through the specifics of hand washing and the specifics of machine washing. Let's actually start with the machine, because those are simpler instructions. And, ideal because it's so much less hands-off. But not everybody has access to their own washing machine. And some people have the washing machines that are the top loaders with the center agitators. In the case of those, you might have to do two loads, because what you're going to want to do is use some towels in there to protect the pads from the fins on the center agitator, which can cause damage. So if you have one of those machines, you can do two loads of pads, or you might just want to say, you know what, to heck with this, I'm going to hand wash. It's not that hard. And it was not that hard. We're probably talking a half hour of like 15 minutes of active time and an hour of soaking time. So it's not a huge process to hand wash. So anyway, machine wash. Use a gentle cycle. The gentle cycle, what that means is that the drum is going to be moving slower. So it's going to agitate the pads less and make them less prone to having damage from the wash cycle. So use a delicate cycle, hot water, hot water. Generally speaking, in laundry, you don't need the hot or the warm water these days, except when you're talking about heavily soiled items and a few other instances. Hockey pads definitely fall in the category of heavily, heavily soiled.
Yes.
The most soiled.
So much soil.
Super soiled. So you want to use hot water for those. Use a mild detergent and use a laundry booster. When I talk to you about hand washing, I'm going to go through the options I have for you, laundry boosters. The booster is what's going to do the odor eliminating. Before you put the gear into the washing machine, make sure that you securely fasten any Velcro buttons or laces so they don't get gummed up in the wash. If it's possible, if you have the kind of machine that can do this, so a not HE machine basically, stop the cycle and allow the pads to soak for 10 to 30 minutes after the drum has filled up with water and detergent. It's just going to give the pads a little extra time to have all of that good detergent and laundry booster stuff kind of work their way in. So that those are your machine washing instructions. Do not obviously put the pads in the dryer, air dry them on your rack or your dryer or whatever setup works for you. Now the big mama, hand washing. Hand washing can take place in basically any space that's big enough for the pads and for water. Generally, this would be the bathtub.
Yeah.
In some cases, some of you might have utility sinks that are big enough. Just a little bit of whimsy. You could certainly use a kiddie pool for this.
I love whimsy. Who doesn't?
Yeah. Who doesn't love whimsy?
Who doesn't love whimsy?
Yeah. The pros of hand washing. Or there's just going to be a gentler experience for the pads. The other thing is that you really, the soaking is crucial to this process. So hand washing allows you to like just soak for hours and hours and hours. Of course, on the other hand, it is more time and energy consuming to do so. So you are going to fill up your vessel with hot water, about a fourth of a cup of detergent, and a half a cup of a laundry booster. So I've talked a lot to my Deadspin readers about laundry boosters. These are things that you add to the laundry in addition to detergent to eliminate stains or odors or brighten whites or keep darks dark. But there are all kinds of different boosters. But the ones that you want to be on the lookout for when it comes to cleaning sporting equipment pads that are really stanky.
Mm-hmm.
Borax is a great one. OxyClean or any other brand of oxygenated bleach, another very good one. Color Safe Bleach is also another very good one. So there are other ones out there. White vinegar, always love the white vinegar. But those are some good ones. Do use about a half a cup of your booster. You're going to put all that stuff in the water. You're going to put the pads in. You're going to kind of swirl them around in the water so that the detergent and the booster and the hot water really get into the pads. Then you're going to walk away 30 to 60 minutes more. If you can stand it, the longer, the better. After that time, go and drain the water. Take a photo of the water and tweet it to me, please. My Twitter handle is at Jolie Care, JOLIEKERR. At Jolie Care.
You're going to get all these pictures of like dudes drowning their equipment in a tub.
I love the color of the dirty water after soaking something that's been very soiled. It's like I describe it as the color of the sky before a tornado hits. Hmm. It's this horrible yellow-green color, and I love it. I totally get off on it. But I get off on gross things.
That's pretty. I talked about taking a dump earlier, but that's about as gross as we've talked about so far.
I'm pretty gross.
How much you love green and yellow stank filled water?
I love
that's
it.
Okay.
So go. Well, here, this is the other thing. There are gonna be guys who listen to this and they're gonna be so excited about tweeting me the gross out picture.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm tricking them into washing their hockey pads. You see what I've done here? I'm a genius.
But you're a woman on Twitter asking guys to tweet you pictures. That's never gonna happen.
I always say no dick pics. No dick pics. I've been looking. Listen, my readers are so freaking nice to me. It's crazy. I say this all the time on this podcast, but like the other guys at Deadspin like comment frequently about how they'll go in and read the comments on my posts and wonder like what I've done to the Deadspin readers, like what fairy dust I've sprinkled on them. And I'm like, no fairy dust. I'd have to vacuum that up. Anyway, yeah, no, my readers are great to me. They're like so freaking nice. I know, it's crazy. It's totally crazy. Okay, so back to these. Okay, so you're going to drain the wash water. You're going to remember to take a picture before you drain it. You're going to send me the picture of the wash water. You're going to drain the wash water. And then individually, you're going to take each piece of your gear and you're going to rinse it very, very, very well under the tap This is why I think the bathtub is really the best place for this. But the utility sink, if you're using a kiddie pool, you could just use a hose. You've probably filled it with a hose. You can use a hose. But so you're just going to rinse it really, really well. Then take each piece. You may need more than one towel for this because they're big. The pads are big. And roll them up in a dry towel. That's going to extrude a lot of the water. Then you want to air dry or use your Rocket Sport dryer or put your pads on your rack that you've created for yourself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's hand washing. This is not hard. But I mean,
you're really underestimating.
I'm asking
how
a lot. No, I'm not. I'm realistic. I'm not. I've been writing about cleaning for Deadspin for almost 3 years. I don't underestimate anything.
But like, when the thing too is like
I just have a positive attitude, and I hope that
it's really sickening how positive you are. It's really off putting. But no, like when you get back from playing hockey, you've played hockey for 2 hours and you're exhausted, and like just the simple act of opening your trunk is.
Here's the thing: you don't need to wash the pads right after you've played the game. You just need to dry the pads out after you've played the game. You can wash the pads at another time.
I'm just saying we're lazy.
I know.
We're so lazy. Like the idea, like the one earlier you talked about laying it out on the tarp, which by the way, your neighbors must think like it's like a crime scene when they look out in your backyard and there's just like hockey equipment strewn on a tarp. Oh no, I'm just drying it. It's okay. And also like buying a kiddie pool too. Like if you're like a 21-year-old man, like what are you buying this kiddie pool for? You have kids?
Yeah,
no.
All right.
Okay.
Listen.
Thanks for coming to Target.
Thank you for the lead in to this last piece of information.
I'm all about the segue.
Yeah. Thank you. If you're too lazy to do any of this, it's fine. I get it. I totally understand. I still want you to clean the gear. And here's how you're going to do it. You're going to outsource it.
Yes.
So there are professional hockey gear cleaning services. And by professional, I don't mean only for the NHL. I mean, these are professionals who clean hockey gear. And they will clean hockey gear for youth teams all the way up to, you know, the Bruins. And what you should do, because we live in a vast world, I'm not going to recommend any services to you because they tend to be very localized, as you might imagine. So what you should do is you should Google hockey gear cleaning services, your city or town or county or wherever, and see what comes up. If you play on a team, if you play on a team, well, all those solo hockey players.
You might just be like some guy skating around by himself in a rink at night. You don't know.
If you play on a team, and I assume you do, you can certainly, and you should ask about group discounts. You can get all of your, what do they call teammates. Why did I just lose that word?
I don't know where you're going for
I know, teammates. Sometimes I lose words. You and your teammates can get together and go in and have all of your equipment sent out and professionally cleaned and returned to you clean. So there you go. I am optimistic, but I'm also realistic, and I know that not all of you are going to hand wash your gear. I'm giving you options. I just want you to get it clean.
The one thing you're also fighting besides laziness is how, as guys, we're gross and we wear the smell like a badge of honor. Like, smell this. Smell how bad this is. And it's like, wow, mine's worse. Smell this. And we just
I'm not hiding it. I acknowledge that in the 3,000 word post I wrote for Deadspin.com on cleaning your hockey gear. Yes, I did. I didn't mention it. Today was we're out of time. We're out of time. Can you even believe it?
Wow. I didn't realize.
I know. How did we have so much to say about... I knew we were going to have this much to say.
Wow, I didn't realize it was going to go by this quickly.
Yeah, every week it does. It's crazy. So with that, a huge thank you to my guest today, Dave Lozo.
Hey, happy and to be here. It was fun.
It was great. You were wonderful. And to my engineers, Jack Inslee and Liz Smith. And to our sponsor today, Eat on North. Today's music was provided by RecTech. If you like what you heard today, all six of you who are listening.
Hi, Mrs. Big Wheel.
Hi, Mrs. Big Wheel. Thanks, Katie. We love you. please consider subscribing on iTunes, leaving a rating, and telling all of your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners. I'm Jolie Kerr, and this has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Next up, a short clip of Full Service Radio.
Which video game universe seems like it would be the most delicious?
Kirby.
Okay.
I didn't even have to think about that one. Everything's named after food. That's it. That's the answer.
All right, fine. Fair enough. Electronic musician Maxo talks about video games and jazz after a 45-minute set on Full Service Radio. Obviously, tons of jazz influence in the stuff you're doing and playing. What's your earliest memory of falling in love with a particular album or artist?
Well, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. I think one of the earliest experiences I had that really changed me was listening to Herbie Hancock's Headhunters, and that was pretty, like, life-changing.
Which is, like, not so far removed from what you're doing, which is crazy.
Not at all. It's,
right.
I feel like all my music has just been in an effort to possibly emulate the feelings I got listening to that record for the first time.
Hear the whole set and more on episode 103 of Full Service Radio, hosted by me, Jack Inslee. All episodes available on heritageradionetwork.org and iTunes.
heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Bing, 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 bing.